Welcome to Sports Hour. Listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd here with you on this Tuesday afternoon in Oswego. Still a little bit warm outside, Brandon. We're not to the cold just yet. We've got a big day here at WNYO. First, we got Sports Hour. Then we have a doubleheader of Laker Athletics today. We've got a volleyball match today against Cortland. Suniac play starting for them. And then men's soccer tonight. They're taking on a powerhouse in Ithaca. Brandon, how's your Tuesday going?
Yeah, it's going well. How's your Tuesday going?
Well, you know, we got the doubleheader tonight. I'm a little sketched out by it. Doubleheaders are always scary when you got two streams going at the same time. And, you know, half of my sports board is out because of either class or SA meetings, God forbid. So a little freaked out about it, but we're rolling. You know what I'm really excited about, Brandon?
What?
I'm really excited about tomorrow.
Yeah?
Yes. And like, because the last 2 days have been so crazy hectic, I haven't really had time to think about it. But tomorrow, we're not going to be here. We're not going to get back in time. We think there's going to be somebody taking this slot, but we're, you know, can never be too sure around here.
No.
But we are off to Syracuse tomorrow to receive our award for the Outstanding College Radio Show by the New York State Broadcasting Association.
Did I tell you I was listening to Ted and Amy this morning? And what they said about it?
Ted and Amy talked about our show?
Not our show.
Oh,
calm
my
down.
God.
Not our show.
Lad, you got me all excited for no reason. What did they say?
I would have sent video. I would have crashed the car. And you would have had to get me out of a ditch.
Yeah.
But they were talking about, oh, we have this luncheon tomorrow, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, Ted and Amy are going to be there
New
tomorrow.
York State Broadcaster Association. And then Ted made a funny voice and sarcastically, like, well, we are Hall of Famers. We might as well dress up.
Yeah, so it's confirmed we're wearing suits tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, we weren't sure. They didn't give us a dress code. They sort of just sent our GM, Abby Connolly, just like a QR code with mine, yours, and of course Zach Case, who won Outstanding Social Media Personality for us. They sort of just sent us QR codes with our names. Didn't say dress code. Didn't say what was for lunch either.
No.
What do you think they're going to serve us?
I don't know. It's going to be fancy. It's going to be like chicken.
Yeah, no, it better be like some like nice chicken dish, maybe like a nice soup or something like
Imagine
that.
Imagine it's hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah, that,
I'll be the happiest person there.
Yeah, you'll be the only one that's happy about hamburgers and hot dogs.
All these famous people are going to be complaining and
I'll be smiling.
Like,
how many actual like famous people are going to... Like Mike Breen's not going to show up, is he?
No, let me look up the Hall of Fame list while we get this going.
Well, Mike Breen was... The reason why I say Mike Breen, he was just elected to the Hall of Fame by the New York State Broadcasting Association.
Oh, maybe he'll be there.
So, you know. I don't know who's going to be there. And what are the chances also that it's in Syracuse, this luncheon, just 40 minutes away?
Yeah, it's...
Like, is the Hall of Fame... Oh, I guess it makes sense because Syracuse is, like, the hub for broadcasting majors and students.
Yeah.
And broadcasting in general.
But I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, a New York City event and different ones.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there's different ones.
Wayne Mahar, the weatherman for 40 years at CMY5's going in.
There you go. There you go. So, it should be a lot of fun tomorrow. Again, we won't be here tomorrow. Someone should be in our slot, hopefully. But, again, around here you can never be too sure. Let's get into what happened last night. The Raiders, they beat the Ravens last night on a wild Monday night football game. They're shaking hands while the play is under review. The Raiders had won, and then the Raiders didn't get the touchdown. Derek Carr threw an interception. Lamar Jackson got the ball back. Lamar Jackson fumbled the football, and the Raiders ended up winning on a field goal.
Yeah, it looked like the Knight was just going to lead to a tie or Ravens win after Carr. It was kind of boneheaded. I get what they were trying to do because a field goal extends the game there, but still, you got to get points down at the goal line.
No, yeah.
And it was a questionable choice to throw it. I felt like we were back in the 2014 Super Bowl, but still, Carl Nassib turns out to be the hero. Raiders punch it in.
Yes, Carl Nassib ends up being the hero. Raiders get the win. You didn't watch this game for, you know, reasons that for reasons that Jake Johnson would love us to stand there, but we're not going to. You didn't watch this game. I'll tell you what, though. I watched the entire second quarter. I didn't see the first quarter because I was in class. But I watched the entire game that I saw on the ESPN2 broadcast of Peyton and Eli. Awesome.
No, I saw videos of that, and it seemed pretty awesome.
And, like, it's not like, you know, they had interviews during the show, and, like, it was, like, 30 minutes. Like, Russell Wilson was on for the entire fourth quarter. Are you freaking kidding me? They just, like, and, like, it's funny because it feels like athletes always want to get out of these types of interviews and stuff. But because Peyton and Eli are players, the players are asking if they could stay on for longer. It was, like, it was the craziest thing I'd ever seen.
No, and the one person I think loses the night is Steve Levy.
So Steve Levy, yeah, it's a big loss for him. Yes. I mean, this everybody was talking about what was going on over on ESPN2 instead of ESPN1. I mean, I feel bad because I love Steve Levy. Yeah. Who doesn't? That goes to Oswego, doesn't love Steve Levy. But that Payne and Eli broadcast last night was awesome. It was so much fun. It was so and you learned a lot too.
Yes,
because they talked about. What was so great about it is they talked about the defensive coverages that, like, Derek Carr and Lamar Jackson are facing on each play. And I thought that was fascinating to me. Because I'm not, you know, I know, like, what Tampa 2 is and cover zero and all that. But, like, I don't know all the intricacies of it. And I don't know if I could point it out if you, like, showed it to me.
Yes.
So that was really interesting for me as a fan.
And I think the big thing for announcing in total, I think this opens up some new avenues.
Oh, yeah. It definitely does.
Yes.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees. Hey, NBC. Well, maybe actually get him on air instead of just the pregame.
Well, you know, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, they're still legends. They got to write their book
one
first.
One person's a legend.
Well, Chris Collinsworth is a legend, dude. He's been on the greatest television show for the past 15 years. He's an absolute legend. Whether you like him or not, it's a completely different story. Let's get to New York sports. The Yankees, they make an unbelievable comeback against, surprise, surprise, though, the Minnesota Twins. I mean, every time the Yankees face the Twins, it's just utter domination from the Bronx Bombers.
It honestly is, and it doesn't matter if it's in Minnesota or the Bronx. This was a makeup game, and they got the job done. And they were down 5-0 going to the sixth. They get one in the sixth. They get one in the seventh, so now you're 5-2, and then Aaron Judge, who we thought was injured, comes back quietly. Must have gotten over his dizziness.
Yeah, he got over the dizziness, right.
Hits a 3-run home run to get over it, and then in the 10th inning, Sanchez is the hero with the single to left, and Holmes for the Yankees gets the job done and gets his 8th win of the year. They needed to do this because the Blue Jays shellacked the Rays last night.
And after losing that game on Sunday Night Baseball, you know, that is a game where that is just a complete dagger. Like, you put up some fighting words, you come back in the game, and then Francisco Lindor just shuts the door on you on national television. I mean, you know, talk about a momentum stopper after winning on Saturday. They needed this one, and they got it.
Yes.
And you got to give them credit. Aaron Judge is just... I mean, the dude is just unbelievable when he's on. How much money is that dude going to get?
A ton.
A lot of money. A lot of freaking money when it comes time. Meanwhile, the Mets, who looked like the team that had a ton of momentum, of course, the Cardinals come around, and Adam Wainwright, who has been destroying the Mets for 40 years, it seems like, the 40-year-old Adam Wainwright shut them down again. They lose by a final score of 6-0.
And you know what was special?
7-0, excuse me.
You know what was special about this matchup? It was a matchup of 40-year-old
pitchers. Two 40-year-old pitchers. Oh, Rich Hill was the latter of the two.
It was still one of his better games of the year.
He didn't pitch that bad.
But when your offense doesn't score.
No. And we're going to get into this today. Jeff McNeil. Oh, my God. Sit him down. Dude, literally. Hey, Khalil Lee is in AAA right now with a WRC plus of 158. He's got an OBP of 462. Get him up. I mean, oh my God. Get Jeff McNeil and Dom Smith, who hasn't even been playing because he's been so bad too. Get them both out of lineup. Just a disgrace.
Four hits for the Mets.
Just unbelievable. I would rather have Jonathan VR playing third base every day and just have JD Davis play left field because they haven't been playing JD because they don't want him to play left field. But, I mean, Jeff McNeil is terrible. He's horrible. Yeah. He's so bad.
At the end of the day, JD's still hitting almost 300.
Yeah, JD can still hit.
Yes.
You know, can't play anywhere. But, you know. And Jonathan VR is honestly, I'm fully prepared to say this, he's the second best hitter on the Mets this year. It's pathetic. I mean, technically, Javi Baez, but Javi hasn't been here for that long. Like, and for players that have been here all year, it's Pete Alonso and then Jonathan Villar.
And it seems like if you are able to skirt Lindor and Alonso, you have a good chance of holding the Mets to under two runs.
Yeah, I know. It's just unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Let's get to Yankees with a big win. They face the Orioles tonight, which that didn't go too well the last time they faced each other. The Mets can't beat the Cardinals. It's been a theme of theirs for a long time now. they continue that series tonight. Plus, week one of fantasy. Who won? Who lost? Did Ladd even set his lineup? Find out later in the show. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Lad's been asking for it. Shout out to Sky Hosford for getting all the music we requested.
One clap.
Shout out to Sky getting Kiss Me More in there. I heard Stay on the rotation earlier too, which is very exciting. Everybody's like, Good For You's played a couple times during rotation. Everybody's been knocking it. I love it. Love it. Get in the car, tune into WNYO, hear some of my girl Olivia. I mean, it's all, you know.
No, it's all good.
It's great. I've been meaning to talk to you about this, and I keep forgetting because we keep having guests. We keep having to move the show around. I rode the scooter.
Yes.
And now we're a week late, so I guess it's not topical. But I did want to bring it up on the show. I rode the scooter with our good friend Lexi Fragapone back home from the movies about a week ago. And let me tell you, that thing is awesome. One clap for Billy Barlow. So fun, so intuitive, not that expensive. I mean, I was going 20 miles an hour on this thing.
Yeah.
Like, crazy fast. It's not like, you know, normally when a town does something like this, a college town that's dominated by college students, you know, it's only got old people here. When a town tries to do something hip and cool like that, it normally blows up in their face, right?
Yes.
You would think everybody would make fun of them.
Yep.
People would destroy the scooters. No. Everyone's been using them. And the app is so intuitive. It knows where each scooter... And you can just... Like, there's not, like, a city bike place, right, where you go and you park it. You leave it anywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, it's perfectly acceptable. Yeah. That's the best part about it, honestly.
Well, middle of Bridge Street might not be perfectly acceptable.
No,
but
it is! Literally, the only place in town that you cannot park the scooter is on Oswego campus.
Huh.
Literally. You could leave it in the middle of the road. I wouldn't suggest you do that. No, because people drag them. Like, people push them onto campus.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. The campus is technically a no-ride zone. But if you have the scooter and I think you ride through campus, that's accessible. You just won't be able to start or stop the scooter on campus.
Okay, that makes sense, because they want it to be a city activity and not college,
but
guess.
But yes, Lexi and I are the first of our friends to ride the scooter, and I'm very excited to ride it again. I don't know when it's going to be, but it'll be soon, I'm sure.
But
you got to get on this.
Yeah, thing. I do. I feel like I'm going to be a country road, just take a right onto Johnson Road, and you'll never see me for about 2 hours.
No, it's great. Listen, if it was free, I would have rode it a longer time than I did.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I mean, 49 cents a minute. I mean, for the experience, it was great. I had a great time.
For the ride.
Yep, for the ride. The bird, as Lexi just kept saying the whole way up Bridge Street. All right, moving on from scooters. The Yankees, they get a win yesterday by a final score of 6-5. And Brandon, they really needed this. I mean, Aaron Judge, like, if the Yankees could have played any team yesterday to recover from that Sunday night loss, it had to be the Twins. They beat up on the Twins every time. They always beat the Twins. It's not like this has been going on for a couple years. It's been 30 years of just pure domination of the Yankees over the Twins.
Playoffs or not.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Playoffs or not. The Yankees are a huge reason that the Twins have lost 17 straight playoff games.
Honestly.
Yeah, no. Yes. Like, the majority of them have come to the Yankees.
And the Yankees yesterday, it looked like it was... They were down bad around 4 o'clock yesterday. It looked really bad.
No, it didn't look good. Gross came in here. He was like, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
He's like, they're going to lose again.
And Instead, now the outlook's a little better. They're only a half game behind the Red Sox. They might be tied. I never checked what the score of that game last night was.
I think the Red Sox, Brian and I watched the end of it. I'm pretty sure
they lost.
Oh, they did.
So the Yankees and Red Sox are tied at the moment.
Yes, the Yankees currently sit at 80-64. They currently hold the second wild card spot. Technically not any games back, but because of winning percentage, they are currently ahead. Boston sits at 81-65. Toronto is a game up on both of them, 81-63. Toronto's won four in a row. They've won 9 of their last 10. They're just insanely hot. Like, yeah. Stupid, ridiculously, like Kyle Schwarber entire team levels of hot right now.
And I had this whole logistical thought this morning as I was pacing around my room, and it was one of my like beautiful mind moments. And it's too late in the season for this to recede back to the mean. Like, if we were talking about this in statistical terms, we would say, oh, the Blue Jays would come down to earth. It's gonna,
you think they're gonna finish the season like this?
They could. Like, it
mean,
gets
their,
a bit
their
scary.
Offense is that good. I don't know if the pitching will necessarily hold up. Although, when you're beating teams 22-7, do you really need pitching? I guess not.
No.
But yeah, the Toronto is scary hot. They're a scary team. I don't want to face them in the playoffs.
No.
And like in the one game wild card, like we talked about how their pitching's been bad. I don't want to face Robbie Ray.
No,
I mean,
you don't.
You know, I don't want to face Garrett Cole either. But, you know, I wouldn't want to face Robbie Ray right now. No way. And I wouldn't want to face the Toronto offense right now. So it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens. Seattle slowly and ever so surely creeping up behind Boston and New York. 78-66. They're just 2 games back now.
Best season since 2001. No matter if they make the playoffs or not. They haven't made the playoffs since 2001.
I'm trying to think. I mean, they haven't made the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, it'll be the best season since 2001.
Let me look at records.
I don't know if it officially would be their best season since 2001.
And we always trust and verify around here.
Yeah, baseballreference.com. Look at how young Ichiro looks in that picture. Good Lord. Do you see it?
Yes.
Ken Griffey Jr. too.
Do you see Felix Hernandez as a
14-year-old? Oh, my God.
Year old?
Yep. Yeah. So many great teams over the years in Seattle.
So
let's see.
2016, 86 and 76.
2014, 87 and 75.
Ooh.
It would be their best season since 2014. But they didn't even make the playoffs that year.
No.
Because they haven't made the playoffs since 2001.
They have not. 2001, 116.
Well, it's the most tied for the most wins in baseball history. And out of nowhere, too. Because in 2000, they lost Edgar, they lost A-Rod, Griffey ended up leaving as well, and they won 116 games. I don't know. It's the Mariners, bro.
And then they lost the ALCS.
And then we never heard from them again.
No,
right?
We did not.
No, this is how bad their luck's been, though, because the year after, 2002, right, they won 93 games. They won 93 games again, and both years, they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and that was the Angels' heyday. And
yeah,
I got a
2002. The Angels went to the World Series.
And let's see what the standings were that year. The Athletics won 100. That was the Moneyball era for the Athletics.
Yes. So they just had incredibly bad luck. You know, I'm rooting for them. I don't think you are, but I certainly am. But yeah, to get back to the Yankees, I mean, you know, Aaron Judge yesterday, just a great win overall. And now they face the Orioles, which how comfortable do you feel going into the series, considering the last time they played the Orioles?
If you listen to my rants recently, I guess everybody's dangerous at any time. My head's on a swivel at all times around here. But I got to say that losing 2 or 3 games had to have been an outlier.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to think so.
And
God,
they're one-run losses. I don't know.
They've just been so abysmal lately. It's insane.
Is it outrageous of me for hoping reality kicks back in? The Yankees win 3 against Baltimore, and
Listen,
Blue Jays realize they're playing
the
Rays.
You're facing 3 cupcakes coming up over the next 9 games. You got 3 in Baltimore, 3 in Cleveland, and then 3 in Arlington.
And considering which pitchers you get against the Red Sox, that might be 3 cupcakes.
I wouldn't be calling the team you're racing against get to the playoffs a cupcake, especially since both of the Yankees and the Red Sox are about 15 games over 500. Tickets as low as $2.
Oh, it's going to be wild
in
the Bronx.
For Yankees, Texas. Holy mother of God.
It's like when we were walking into Syracuse. They'll let anybody into this game today.
Oh, my God. $2. Are you kidding me? And then it goes up to Boston. And then when they face Boston, it's what? Oh, ESPN recommends Vivid Seats. That's awesome because that's the site that I use.
So you can sit.
It's way up. The seats are terrible.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. The seats are really bad. But it's $2.
Better chance of seeing the planes going into JFK than seeing the game. But still, $2 and you're there.
Yeah, you're absolutely. Go behind home plate. How much is that? 120B. Click on it. It's $185.
That's still pretty cheap.
Okay, so they really just, you know.
What are the bleachers?
Is that where the bleacher creatures sit?
Yes, $8.
$8?
$7. I've sat in the bleachers for $10.
All right, go to the right field porch.
43 and 54.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So, but, yeah. So they just want to get you in the stadium because they're playing Arlington. But if you actually want to go to the game, you got to pay some money.
Yes,
that makes sense. So, three against the Orioles coming up tonight, 7 o'clock. Who's pitching for the Yankees?
Garrett Cole.
Ah, yes. All right, it's always good. Like, I feel like whenever Cole pitches for the Yankees, it's like a sigh of relief.
Yes.
Everybody just breathe. Like, Garrett Cole is pitching tonight.
Pretty sure he's coming back from injury.
Yeah.
He had some hamstring
issues, yes.
Yes.
Had some hamstring issues for sure. All right. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss the New York Mets and why they still, 14 years later, can't beat Adam Wainwright. And then coming up, some fantasy talk. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Here with you on this Tuesday, Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd. It's the award-winning Sports Hour right here up until 4 o'clock. Then at 4, Mike Gross and Jacob Johnson on the Hot Corner. I'm sure they'll have lots to get into today.
They always do.
They always do. They're always getting into trouble.
You know, I always thought, like, how can you do a baseball show like that for so long? But they find the most interesting things.
Yeah, they're both pretty big baseball nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both pretty big into it. I mean, I am too, but I like to talk about other things too. You know, we got a full day of coverage here of Laker athletics at 6 o'clock over on Stream 2. It's going to be Jared Wakefield and Dominic Perrone on the call for Oswego taking on Cortland. Their conference play starting up before the. I don't know what the tournament's called this weekend because it wasn't given a name on the website. In the meeting with athletics this morning, they didn't tell me there was a name, so I'm just going to call it the Laker Volleyball Tournament. Because the soccer tournament technically didn't have a name either, and they called it the Laker Turf Tournament. So the Laker Volleyball Tournament, because the Max Zeal Tournament is the basketball one in October. Laker Volleyball Tournament before this weekend. That'll be Joey Palatsky and Trent Wilkinson on Friday night with Jared Wakefield and I here with you 15 minutes before the game starts. And then on Saturday, you're calling a doubleheader with Joey.
Can't wait.
One of those games on Stream 1. The other over on Stream 2. And then on Stream 1 tonight, Oswego men's soccer. It'll be Joey Palatsky and Zach Malamade on the call for Oswego State men's soccer taking on Ithaca. Oswego State trying to get some momentum going against a bigger school like Ithaca.
You missed the biggest event of the night. On Stream 3, it will be Brandon Ladd covering SA Night in America at 6 o'clock.
There is no Stream 3. Have you ever been to an SA meeting other than the disaster ones that we went to last year?
Not with my blood pressure below 200.
We went into those meetings last year fired up. You know that I will say, that first meeting, where like 150 people were there and like probably like 200 or 300 were going to eventually come in, where they had to stop it and then like message everyone saying it was like, that's one of the wildest experiences I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
It felt surreal. Whole day felt surreal.
Like, you don't see this always, and I guess we're not in big cities, but that was like an angry mob moment together.
No, it really was. Like, Syracuse.com. Like, did a story on it. Like, not that they're, like, you know, huge or anything like that. But It's big news. Al Roker spoke about it, not on the Today Show. It would have been really cool if he brought it up on the Today Show, but no, he didn't.
My favorite quote from that period, we are now practicing crisis management.
Yeah.
Remember when they said that in the statement? Yeah. That made me laugh.
So, you don't have Dylan McGlynn to go to your meetings anymore, so you're going to who's normally going to be doing that?
I don't know. Tomas and Sydney just suddenly just were not available at 6 o'clock. Suddenly I looked around the room and nobody was available at 6 o'clock.
So you're going to be heading over to SA at 6 o'clock. But we got lots of sports for you today. And, of course, this weekend going to be a good year. Hockey season right around the corner as well. All good things coming your way via WNYO Sports. All right, let's talk about the New York Mets. You know, I was really excited for last night's game. The momentum is real. They're controlling their own destiny. They get a free half game on some teams, and the only other team that's playing is the Padres, which is the most important team that they're chasing, and they play the Giants, who are the best team in the game. I'm like, we got good momentum. We got Rich Hill on the mound. Francisco Lindor is going to keep up that hot streak. And then, of course, the pitcher they're facing is, of course, and I don't know if you know the history. Do you know the history between Adam Wainwright and the New York Mets?
Does it go back to 2006?
Oh, yes, it does. I am going to read you a quote from Adam Wainwright when I find it. But, I mean, just so bad. Like, everything about last night was they couldn't hit. They didn't play defense well in the ninth. It's just all, like, it was all just so bad. And, of course, it happened against the Cardinals, who they haven't been able to beat since 2006, it seems like.
And while you're trying to find your quote, I kind of am curious, most wins in a season by a pitcher over 40?
Is it? Yeah, he's got, Adam Wainwright currently got, like, 15, right?
16.
Yeah, 16. Yeah, because he won last night. I found the quote, by the way.
Go for it.
So, do you actually know, like, the first moment that, like, Adam Wainwright, like, destroyed the New York Mets?
Was it 2006?
So, yeah, it was game six? Yeah, it was. No, it must have been game seven. Hold on. You need to do me a favor, and I'm really mad at myself that I don't know this. Look up how many games did the 2006 NLCS go to. I don't know if it's six or seven. Yeah, it's seven. Right?
Seven?
Yeah.
It was game seven?
Yeah, because in game six, Chavez made the catch. I don't know. I was 6 years old. My memory of that series is, like, very faint. Like, I remember them playing them, but I don't remember watching.
Oh, we got the save.
So this is the story. So Paul Duke is on first base. The Mets have a chance to win the game in the ninth. Adam Wainwright is on to close. Carlos Beltran is at the plate. Adam Wainwright dropped a lollipop curve right in the middle of the plate, and all Carlos Beltran could do was stare at it. Like, and that image of, like, Beltran looking at the pitch fall into the middle of the zone is, like, iconic in Mets history, because it's just, like, how? Like, how do you not swing one, and how did they not win that series? They were just so much better in every way than the St. Louis Cardinals that year. Cardinals, of course, went on to win the World Series. So this is what Adam Wainwright had to say about the game. I forget what inning it was. Again, I was in class last night. But there was a point in the game where the bases were loaded with Jeff McNeil at the plate. Adam Wainwright said this of that situation. I like nostalgia, and I feel like all the Mets fans in a bases-loaded situation wanted me to throw two curveballs and a changeup to Jeff McNeil to get him out. Just gave the people what they wanted. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, come on, man. Like, you beat us. You know, you're beating a dead horse here, dude. Like, really? You're 40 years old and you're still just absolutely, like, tormenting us from inside and out?
That's a Hall of Famer right there.
It is. He absolutely is.
And you want to feel old? He was 24 at the time.
Yeah,
he did
I know.
That.
And he's 40 years old and he's still dominating the Mets. It's unbelievable. Every time they play the Cardinals, it's unbelievable. But to get to Jeff McNeil, and I want to talk about him for a second. There's two times in this game, Jeff McNeil came up with the bases loaded against Adam Wainwright, and he came up again with runners on first and third in, like, the eighth inning. Got out both times. This man needs to sit down. Horrible. So bad. Like, every time he comes up. And that's not Jeff McNeil at all. This is a dude that was a career 319 hitter coming into this season. His career average is now down to 300. This is a guy with an OPS plus in his career of 125, an 825 OPS, a 459 slugging. This year, he's hitting 248, 318 on base, 349 slugging. Rajay Davis, Juan Pierre, the least powerful hitters of our generation, don't have that bad yes. slugging percentage. And an OPS plus of 86. I mean, what in the world has happened to Jeff McNeil?
And the slugging percentage is falling rapidly as time goes on.
It's 100 points lower than it is for his career.
If you look at the season in a whole, April was bad. May was okay. He hit 302. You thought he's turning around. June, 206. He was injured for a little bit of that. July, 351. Okay, he's coming back. 14 RBIs. August, 187. Yeah. Slugging percentage of 297. But oh, wait, it can get worse. September, slugging percentage of 256.
You can talk about Francisco Lindor all you want. Jeff McNeil and Dominic Smith, and Smith hasn't even been playing, so we can't even really judge him. But Jeff's been out there every day. He has been bad all the time, it seems like. I don't even believe it. Jeff McNeil coming into the season, I legitimately thought was the third best player on the team. He just raked that much.
And it's bad at bats because he struck out 25 times since the beginning of August. This is a guy, the most strikeouts in his career was 75 in 510 at bats in 2019. So it's just bad at bats from him as well.
And you want to know something really scary? He's been so bad this year. I thought Jeff McNeil would have had a great year this year and we would have gone into this offseason buying out a certain someone. Robbie Cano, his chances of playing for this team next year. No, I'm serious. You're laughing at me. His chances of playing for this team next year have gone up exponentially.
You honestly think there's a chance?
Smith's been bad. The DH is coming back. And McNeil has been awful. Think about it.
Yeah.
Who replaces those three guys? Who replaces those two guys and the DH is coming into play? Robinson Cano is going to play out this contract, which is unbelievable. I thought we got out of it. And we're not going to. We're going to have to pay this man for the rest of his career.
I would do a Rule 5 guy before I do Cano, but still.
It's just unbelievable. He's there. You either have to buy him out or, let him play. They might as well let him play with the way McNeil and Smith have played this year.
Sad.
Right?
It's sad, sad times.
Yeah, it's sad. Mets still somehow 3.5 games back. They're taking on the Cardinals again tonight in Game 2 of the series, looking to get back on track. And I really just thought that... Yeah, that Sunday night game was just so great, but it was a typical Mets loss this year. It's going to be Marcus Stroman. That's like a sigh of relief for me versus Woodford. 2-3, 4.28.
Who's Woodruff pitch for, Milwaukee?
Jake Woodford. 2-3, 4.28 ERA, 1.39 whip, 40 strikeouts on the year. So that's the matchup tonight. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tonight for the New York Mets. But for right now, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, fantasy football time. Did Ladd set his lineup? Find out after the break. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. If you've been listening to the show for the past week, you know what song this is. It's Old World by Crying. Welcome back to Sports Hour, 88.9 WNYO, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd here with you on this Tuesday. So, like a week ago, I want to say, I was just listening to WNYO, and this song came on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to know what it is. And it's called Old World, and it's by a band called Crying. What do you think? Nobody has liked it.
It's a song.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It is pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's like a remastered version of Super Mario.
Okay, so it's nostalgic for you.
Well, I didn't play Super Mario much as a kid. It was all Mario Kart and Mario Super Strikers, which I still play today.
Is that what you and Brian were playing today?
Yeah, we were playing Super Strikers today.
I 1 o'clock, I was like, oh, we're under attack.
Yeah, no, Ryan and I screaming at the top. That game is just it's so fun. And it makes me mad that you never want to play GameCube because it's so awesome.
Quinn yelled at me the other night. He's like, you got to start playing GameCube.
Because we would play Smash in our suite.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, all right, lad, you want to play? And you would just be like, no.
No, I'm happy watching.
Like, Smash is a great game. Yeah. Forget Strikers. Nobody knows what that is. Smash is, like, universally, like, awesome.
It isn't like I missed the moments. I was always sitting there.
Yeah, but, like, you don't want to get in on the action?
I guess. I don't know. I just don't want to get embarrassed.
You never played Mario Party 7 either.
No, which is terrifying.
That game got scary at times.
I'm thinking of the last time we played that with Jake. Yeah, lives were in danger.
No, yeah, that game gets... That game, like, friendships get lost. Forget Mario Kart. Friendships are broken during Mario Party 7. All right, let's get to a little bit of fantasy football here. Now, Brandon, we're gonna mainly be talking about the league that we're in with the trophy, because the trophy is sexy. Like,
yes, it is.
The trophy is awesome.
How much did that cost?
I don't know how much it costs, and I'm kind of afraid to ask,
because as soon as you ask, you owe money.
Yeah, yes. It's a lot of money. But the league is called 12 Angry Men. It's with me, Lad, Brian, a couple of our friends that have long graduated. So this week I beat Jake, whose name is a name that cannot be said. It was the two Lad logos going up against each other. My team, Pump Your Own Gas. I won by a final score of 153 to 144. I did get the win this week. I got the win in two out of the three of my leagues. You know who I lost to?
Who?
Michaela.
That
was the only fantasy loss I took this week. I know. It is. It really is embarrassing. And you, Lad, what was the score of your game?
It was 164-133.
And you lost to Brian Runner. Lad, what happened? Russell Gage in the Superflex?
I don't know if he took the field.
He didn't. He had 0 points.
It's very questionable if he took the field or not.
Odell Beckham Jr. didn't take the field. Started him.
So if I put a quarterback in, I would have been just fine.
Well, no. Your backup quarterback is Fields, and he had 6 points.
How'd Big Ben do? Because everybody's yelling at me to pick up.
Well, yeah,
Big
you
Ben.
Have to. You need a backup quarter. You don't even have a backup because Fields isn't starting.
Some of us are playing the long game here.
You had Patrick Mahomes, who dropped 33 points. What would it take to get you to trade Patrick Mahomes?
I think it like goes two, past like, fantasy.
Like two first round picks?
Yeah, maybe a Corvette.
A Corvette? So he's like the most untouchable you could possibly get.
Yeah, I just do you blame me?
No, not at all. I'm just curious. I offered you a trade this morning, and you didn't accept it.
Yeah, because you tried to wheel and deal me while I was still tired.
You tried to
take advantage of someone at 9 a.m.
That's ridiculous. That is not true. First off, 9 a.m. is not that early, and I'm saying that. Second off, I offered you a 6th round pick. I offered you Henry Ruggs in exchange for a future 6th round pick, and you said that you were thinking about it, and then you realized that you were giving me the 6th round pick, and said, "Wait, absolutely not! I'm not doing that."
Finally, I could see straight, and I was like, "Oh, that's what this trade is."
You still haven't rejected the trade.
Let me see if I fat finger this.
Yeah, you're somehow gonna. I offered Dylan McGlynn Henry Ruggs in exchange for a 7th round pick. He has not even looked at it yet. So we'll see if that happens. I'm just trying to get some depth. I'll be honest. I'll expose my strategy here on air. Crowder is coming back off the IR, and I think he's going to make kind of a big impact because I think he's going to be a safety net for Zach Wilson. So somebody's got to go, and Henry Ruggs kind of seems like the guy that is going to be replaced by him because Crowder's coming off the IR. So I'm trying to get something for him, like anything for him.
Yeah.
Trying to get a little bit of value, you know? And what the great thing about this league is it's not a dynasty, it's a keeper. So, like, and you can trade draft picks, which is pretty cool. So, like, there's also future planning involved, which I love, actually.
And we know how well my dynasty league's going.
Oh, yeah. Well, your dynasty league, didn't you win?
I did win.
What was the score of that one? $100 buy-in for this league.
I won by 40, I think.
Yeah.
But it was just mass confusion. What was going on? Yeah. Why there's 20 players on my bench?
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on at once.
No, yeah. I completely agree. The sleeper app, I got to say, week one, Luke Owens, I'm not loving it. I love the trade block. I love that we can trade picks. I love the weekly report. I love all that. But the app itself, like on game day, was a little bit of a mess. Like I couldn't really keep track of like the scores and like who was doing what. I also don't like how like you can't just scroll. Like on ESPN, you know how you can scroll through each and every game?
Yep.
I don't like that you can't do that on Sleeper.
Did you see what I just did?
Did you just reject the trade? Trade it. You accepted it?
I accepted it.
Why?
I just... We'll see what happens.
Why did you... What? You just gave me a 6th-round pick for nothing.
So what? I'll get it back.
How?
People get very desperate as the season goes on.
Well, folks, I just gained an extra pick. A blockbuster trade happening live on Sports Hour. Henry Ruggs of Pump Your Own Gas has been traded to Suss Avenue for a 2022 6th-round pick.
Breaking.
Yeah, that's the first trade of the year. So congratulations on that.
Wow, I'm the first person to fall for this.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're the first person. I offered Matt Watling last night a trade for Allen Robinson. He immediately rejected it. And I offered it to him at 1 in the morning.
But I feel like I can wheel and deal, wine and dine some of these guys because of...
You need a quarterback.
I do. And my
what do you want for Carson? What do you want for Carson Wentz?
Yikes. Let me see if I have better options. Carson...
Carson Wentz had 17 points this week. I will trade him to you for something of value. You thinking about it?
I'm trying.
Are you gonna pick up Big Ben?
I don't know.
You got it.
Who's
you need,
on the block here? Let me see.
There's no quarterbacks on the block. It's Saquon, Allen Robinson, and Jake this morning put like Mike Gesicki, and I think Michael Thomas is good, but he's gonna be out for a while.
So how do I do it that, like...
How do you do what?
I can see everybody in the league.
You can see all the teams. You have to go to... That's what I don't like about the Sleeper app. You have to, like, go to each team individually.
Let me... Who can I jump on here? Marano.
You need a quarterback. Please keep that in mind. You can trade for Deshaun Watson.
Oh, he only has Kyler Murray and Trey Lance. He's in the same position I am.
No, but you don't even have a quarterback because you have Fields, who isn't playing.
Well, Trey Lance isn't either.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Really? Oh, yeah, you're right. He's not. Oh, wow. Was that? Who did you say? Marano?
Marano, which not, doesn't surprise me.
Not
the two
Vanderbilt?
People that don't understand what's going
well,
on.
Well, Marano had the best. He scored over 200 points. He's the best team in the league. And I technically, after week one, he's the best team in the league. And I face him this week, so I'm a little scared.
So I'm going to trade for Jared Goff with Jake.
What are you offering, Jake?
A 2022.
You're gonna trade away. You're gonna trade away all your picks, lad.
I'll give up. Russell Gage.
You're gonna give up Russell Gage.
That's my number one.
That's your number one trade piece at the moment.
No. Oh my goodness, what can I do here? I have so
you
many
gotta
wide
figure
receivers.
This out. Yeah, no. I have a lot of wide receivers too, which is part of the reason that I'm also trading away.
Okay,
Ruggs.
I'm committing to this. It's going to be...
Well, you're not going to know if he's going to accept it or not. What's
well,
the trade offer?
He just texted me.
Well, he said he texted us and said, do you want Jared Goff? But what are you offering him?
I'm going to give up Odell and in return...
You're going to give up Odell for Jared Goff?
No, I'm going to add another piece to this.
You need to get like a first round, like not a first rounder, like a third rounder from him.
Yeah, I'm going to ask for a... I'm not going to get greedy. I'm going to ask for a... No, he needs wideouts. I'm going to ask a 2022 outside of Russell Gage. He's
Jake,
saying.
If you need wideouts, Jake, I will happily work out a deal for Christian Kirk.
So I get Goff in a 2022 fourth round. He gets Odell. Send trade proposal. Confirm.
Wow. We'll see if he accepts that. I'm sure we'll find out soon enough if he accepts that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap the show, and then it's the Hot Corner. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO, 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour, WNYO. I don't know what this song is. I didn't prepare a song. But Aaron Valentino, Brendan Ladd, Jacob Johnson, and Joey Plaszy. He said he was going to sit here silently, but I'm not going to let him. Just because I beat him in his league last night.
I got demolished.
168-152, yes. Josh Jacobs and Marquise Brown came through. Lamar Jackson didn't come through for you, Jake, as you took your L as I beat you this week.
He's moving to
well.
RB2.
He's becoming RB2.
Jalen Hurts is RB1.
Jalen Hurts is RB1. Now, Jake, What trade are you? Because I just fleeced a sixth round pick out of Ladd, by the way. Did you
see
that?
I heard.
Yeah. So if you want draft picks, come to Brandon Ladd because he's got some apparently.
Well, for some reason, Matthew Watling asked me today. He said, if you still want Barkley, would you consider trading CMC?
What?
CMC.
Is he out of his mind?
And I said, I'm never giving away CMC until you pay me.
That's why would Barkley put up 5 points?
Well, yeah.
He'll come back. He'll be all right.
Yeah. First off, yesterday on the show, you guys were destroying the man. He's coming off a torn ACL. He wasn't going to play
a
lot of snaps.
I did not destroy
Saquon. Nobody destroyed the man. We just said the offensive line
couldn't do anything for him.
Like, you could put eighth graders in front of them, and it would still be an even fight.
Yeah. No, Jake, I did not destroy Saquon. I think Saquon is, like, one of the most talented players in the league.
Whoever was in with you yesterday did not like Saquon Barkley.
Well, that's
Jason.
Fine.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
We can't speak for his opinion, but our opinion...
Now, Jake...
It's wrong. His opinion was wrong.
Okay, Jake, what does Ladd have to do to get Jared Goff, which is just so pathetic?
I'm currently looking at Ladd's team as we speak.
Ladd, why do you need Jared Goff? Who's your team right now?
There's a super flex.
There's a super flex, and he has Justin Fields. Who isn't playing currently?
So my super flex this week was Russell Gage.
Who had 0 points.
Let's see.
Yeah, no, I definitely see your issue. I mean, Jared Goff's
I wouldn't
all
be
that.
Mad about Jamar Chase, and I wouldn't be mad about Brandon Cooks.
Well, I'd be a little mad about Jamar Chase.
He's on your bench.
Well, he's going to get inserted in the lineup if I remember to do it this week.
Well, I don't know. Maybe like a Jamar Chase for like, and Jared Goff for like a third round pick.
Okay,
wait, you're giving him a pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that would be good.
Why would he give? I'm just saying, we look at my roster right now. Michael Pittman, Chris Godwin, Devontae Parker, not great. I mean, obviously, Chris Godwin played pretty well. Pittman, eh. Parker, he played okay. But in that wide receiver, running back, tight end slot, I have
the flex
Tyrell Williams.
Okay.
And he's in concussion protocol. So you look at my bench. It's Michael Carter, Kenyon Drake, and Latavius Murray. I don't have another wide receiver.
Oh. Latavius Murray got some touches last night.
Jake, why didn't you offer me a deal for Henry Ruggs?
Why would I want Henry Ruggs? I watched the man play last night. He dropped 17 passes.
Yeah, well,
I just gave up a six-round pick for him.
Eventually, he'll catch those.
Yeah, Ladd gave up a seventh.
Start somewhere.
He gave up a sixth.
He gave up a
sixth,
and if he gives me Jamar Chase, I'm giving him back a third. That's a deal and a half.
That's good value for you.
That is actually a deal, Chase. I agree, but what would you give up for Brandon Cooks? A fourth or a fifth?
I'd give up a fifth for Cooks. Chase has higher upside than Brandon Cooks does.
I would get the third.
Just because Joe Burrow and Chase play really well together. I mean, Tyrod Taylor and Cook's not great. I would take Cooks at the same
Chase
time.
Chase might be my keep next year.
You saw what you said. You saw. You, guys
you
see what
have
Jamar
Patrick
Chase
Mahomes on your
balls?
Roster.
Well, you get two.
You get two.
Okay.
But I still probably wouldn't do Jamar Chase considering he was on your bench week one.
He had one good
Your
week
other keep
you
probably should be Darren Waller or Stephon Diggs.
That's how it works around here.
Stephon
it's
Diggs,
a shiny
Darren
object
Waller.
In front of us.
Lad?
All right. We do got to get
it's
out
a great
here,
group.
I am going to play us out because got meetings, places to be, people to see. The Hot Corner coming up at 4 o'clock. We got men's soccer over on Stream 1, 88.9 at 7 with Joey Colazzi and Zach Malmaid. And over on Stream 2, Jared Wakefield, Dominic Perrone, volleyball. Hot Corner coming up in 5 minutes. We'll see you, not tomorrow, but Thursday.